T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take. It is August 31st, 2025. We are live at WCCO at the Great Minnesota Get Together. And I just want to just start by saying we've had a week, and it has been a heartbreaking, tragic, sad, historic week for Minnesota. And I just, as I reflect on these days, I just want to acknowledge that we've had a lot of these days in Minnesota, and we've had a lot of them this year. And I just want everybody to understand that my goal with these Sunday morning conversations is to reflect and to think. There's plenty of polarization. There's plenty of social media chirping and hacking. But Sunday Take, the show, is meant to be a thoughtful dialogue about the state of the state. And so last Sunday, as I was here at the fair, I thought to myself, what should we do this Sunday? And in 2009, we did an event here on the porch with all the Republican candidates for governor at that time. And it struck me that in 2009 was the start of a year-long conversation about what Minnesota's governor's race was going to look like. And we will have a governor's race next year. And anyone who listens to this show or reads what I write, I think the governorship of the state of Minnesota is a special job. And I think Minnesotans look at choosing their governor differently than they choose at other leaders. And so this week's show is going to be the beginning of our conversations here on this show about the future of Minnesota, not just the governor's race, but many other races going into the 2026 race. And knowing that it was a big week and a heavy week and a tragic week, I want you all to hold me to account in the next year to keep things civil and in a thoughtful way. Because I think that's what the majority of Minnesota is wanting. The mood of Minnesota is not yelling at each other as we look at these crowds growing at the state fair. The mood of Minnesota is a thoughtful civility about our schools, about our streets, about our neighborhoods, about our small towns, about our economy. And I just want to honor that for the next year and do our part here on CCO, on this show, to make sure we have civil and thoughtful discussions. When we come back, I have two candidates for governor with me. State Representative Kristen Robbins and businessman Kendall Qualls. And we're going to start the conversation for the 2026 governor's race here on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back live from the Great Minnesota Get-Together. I'm your host, Blois Olson. This is Sunday Take. Joining me this week are Representative Kristen Robbins and businessman Kendall Qualls. They're both running for governor as Republicans. Former State Senator Scott Jensen was invited. I guess he's going to be at the fair later, but he couldn't make it in time here. But as I said in the open, this is just the first of many conversations I know we're going to have. And it's a conversation. Today is certainly not a debate. There will be time for those, and we will definitely host those here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I just want to start with the basics. We'll start with you, Representative Robbins. Give a little background on who you are and why you want to be governor of the state of Minnesota.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I am originally from Crookston. My parents owned a small business there. My dad owned the funeral home. And I went to Bethel College, did a little stint in D.C. working on Capitol Hill, did my graduate work. And now we've been back here probably 30 years, maybe a little longer. And so I've been a mom. I've run an economic club. I'm, you know, passionate about our state. So I'm running for governor because my husband and I were blessed to raise our three daughters here and build our lives here. And we've seen such a decline in Minnesota under the Tim Walz administration. And so I want to reverse that. I want Minnesota to work for Minnesotans again. And I'm excited to be the leader that changes the trajectory of our state, back where people are incented to come, not incented to leave.
Kendall Qualls, who are you and why are you running for governor?
Yeah, I often hear that. Who in the heck am I? So, listen, proud to be here as a candidate for governor. One of the things that I think I can bring to our party is that I can help bring, I think, what's been missing for the last 20 years, why we haven't won statewide. I can attract people from the metro to a story that is classic, the classic American story. I grew up in Harlem, New York in the late 1960s when my parents divorced. Unfortunately, it was a tough time from grade 1 through 5. I lived there and I saw the calamity, the crime, everything was there, the epicenter of that. Then because my mom couldn't handle all five kids by herself, and my older brothers and sisters were getting absorbed in the street culture, I moved to Oklahoma in a trailer park with my dad. So I've seen the worst part of life, and what I share with people based on my career path and what I've been able to do is that in this country, no matter where you start in life, you don't have to stay there for the rest of your life. I worked full-time, paid my way through college. I served in the Army for 5 years. After the Army, I started with Johnson & Johnson in sales management, marketing. I went back to school, got my MBA, all that. And I just have had a very successful corporate career. But separate from that, I've been married now for 40 years. Sheila and I have raised five kids. We adopted one of them. I can't remember which one. I love them all the same. And you know, this idea that the American dream works. I tell people I'm not exceptional. I live in an exceptional country. I serve an exceptional God. And I want to make sure that this access is there for the rest of Minnesotans for generations. That's why I'm doing it.
Just as you both look ahead, and Kristen, you talked about it, but we'll come to Kendall now. In a few words, what is the state of the state? What is the state of Minnesota right now?
Yeah, well, it's sad that you asked now because we have been in the news for the last 5 to 6 years for all the wrong reasons. And this week has been an example. Last week has been an example of that, whether it's the shootings, whether it's the school performance, whether it's targeting of police officers, the rioting and looting, this is the time when we need outside experience, just like we have with President Trump, whether you like him or not. His outside experience is bringing something new to Washington, D.C. politics and solutions. We need the same thing in our state, someone from outside politics that can bring business experience and bring leadership from the military and bring people together to solve some major problems that we have in our state.
Kristen, how do you sum up the state of the state?
So Minnesota is fantastic. I love our state, but we're in a rough patch right now. So under Tim Walz, we have had $18 billion surplus turned into a $6 billion deficit, increase of taxes $11 billion. we have seen education scores plummet. The news came out Friday. 50% of our kids cannot read at grade level. 55% of our kids cannot do math at grade level. This is a crisis that will impact our state for generations. We also have increased crime. We also have, you know, the horrible, terrible shooting at Annunciation last week, and so many incidents of violence in our communities. So there's a lot we need to change, but it's possible. We really can get Minnesota back to working for families and for communities, for businesses. And I believe in our state, and I love our people, and we can do it.
I want to lean in and not delay the debate that is happening, will happen, on guns. Governor Walz said Friday he may have a special session. Is there more to do about gun violence, Representative Robbins?
You know, I think we can have the conversation, but it has to be broader than what the governor has been talking about. And I'm skeptical that he's going to call a special session, at least in the short run. I mean, we still need to get the special elections done in the House and Senate. So I don't see it as coming quickly if we have one. And if we have one, it needs to be very broad. We passed background checks. We passed red flag laws. It didn't help. And so what we need to do is have a conversation about mental health and how are we protecting schools. There were bipartisan bills to give all schools school safety aid, and they didn't get a hearing. And they excluded, some of them included private schools, some did not. But right now in Minnesota, your kids get public safety aid if they're in traditional public schools. But if they're in charter or private schools, they do not. And this should be like textbook aid or transportation aid. It should be per pupil. It shouldn't matter what system you're in. All kids need to be protected. And as governor, I will change that immediately.
Kendall, what do you see as a way forward on guns and the debate we're about to have?
Yeah, first of all, boys, you know, this is classic, again, the politics. We have an issue, not an issue of gun problem. We have an issue where in our state we have this trans refuge for minors. As adults, people can make their own decisions how they want to live their lives. We're actually marketing this issue in public schools, this gender fluidity. Right? In elementary schools, they're pushing this stuff. Sadly, when you know they know their pronouns, they know the gender fluidity and as minors, but they can't spell it. This is a mental health issue that should not necessarily be elevated and diverted away from the attention of guns. I'm with Congressman Emmer, with the leader Emmer, with the, you know, repealing that trans refuge bill. It's calling an issue, calling a special session on guns is a diversion from that number one issue. And secondly, I agree with Representative Robbins. He should have signed that protection bill. It's $50 million. With all the fraud and everything else going on, I'm sure there was, you know, money in the pockets of a lot of the fraudsters that could have paid for that bill without a problem.
Let's stay on guns for a minute, because assault weapons and high capacity magazines is something that was banned at the federal level, and there's no longer a ban. Is that a place to start? Because it polls, most people believe they should be banned. There doesn't seem to be a good reason for hunting to have them. Kendall, is that a place to start?
It's not a place to start. I'm a Second Amendment guy, number one, but number two, I'm a solutions-oriented, fact-based person. So when you look at where a lot of the gun shootings, who has the guns when the actual assaults happen, 99.8% of the time, it's not with people that have a license to carry.
Right.
It's not law-abiding citizens. If we go after the guys that are actually executing these crimes, keep them locked up and not have a revolving door, we can address a lot of these issues and many of these issues. And one of the reasons why we had that assault weapons ban that it was dropped, and there was no evidence that showed that there was any difference. Okay, I mean, I'm an evidence-based guy. Okay, I look at the numbers, and there's no results. The shooter that we had last week, Not only had he had a rifle, he had a shotgun and a pistol. So even having an assault weapons ban would not have prevented him from this attack.
But you have, I mean, I look at this and say, he could have still bought those other guns.
But well, he did.
But the damage from a high capacity magazine is different.
Well, look, when evil people have an agenda, we can say, well, do we really need 30 round magazines? And let's shrink them down to 5 or 7. Okay, well, I can tell you what these guys would do. We've seen it happen. They'll take duct tape of those 5, 7 magazines, and they'll wrap it around, so now they'll have a 10, 14-round magazine. You can't legislate morality, good sense, and if evil prevails, it's going to happen regardless. Typically, we don't want to address the root cause problem, and that's where we need to really take a look at it. What's the commonality of many of these school shooters, and the commonality of the gang shooters? And we don't want to look at a lot of this stuff, and we need to. It's a mental health, and it's a fatherless home crisis that we have in the United States.
Representative Robbins, you've been at the legislature for these debates. I know you've probably been door knocking in your district and had moms and dads bring these up. Is high capacity magazine something that the legislature should look at in Minnesota?
You know, I think that the assault weapons ban debate is complicated, but I also think it didn't work. We had the assault weapons ban. I remember this debate from when I worked in Congress many, many years ago. And so it's a semi-automatic weapon that looks a certain way that people want to ban. I own a semi-automatic weapon for pheasant hunting. It's you stick 3 rounds in there. And we cannot ban all these hunting guns because they're semi-automatic weapons. And what the definition of assault weapon was back in the day when they had it last time, it was based on how it looked. And there were millions of exceptions. So that's why it didn't work. The studies show it didn't work because people always found a way around it because there were so many exceptions. So I feel like that's not going to drive a solution. What's going to drive a solution is addressing, making sure that schools and churches have the resources they need to secure their facilities and doing the hard work of mental health. As Kendall said, we passed the Transgender Sanctuary State Bill, which allows people to bring minors to Minnesota without parental permission to get life-altering surgeries. That should not be. We should not be doing that. We passed this, they call it conversion therapy bill. It's really a ban on counseling kids who are struggling with gender dysphoria. Under the law, you can only provide acceptance and support for what they choose as their identity. You cannot say, what are the implications if you have this surgery? What are the implications for your life if you take these hormones? That kind of honest discussion is currently banned in Minnesota. So I feel like there's many things we could do in the special session, but I'm very concerned that we are looking at things that are a window dressing that aren't going to solve the problem.
We're live at the Minnesota State Fair with Kendall Qualls and Kristen Robbins. They are each running for governor as Republicans. When we come back, we'll broaden this conversation to talk about the other issues in Minnesota: education, crime, and everything else that's on your mind. Send us your text at 651-461-9226. I'm Blaise Olson. This is Sunday Take. We are back on Sunday Take, live from the Minnesota State Fair. I'm your host, Blaise Olson. We're with Kristen Robbins, a state representative, and Kendall Qualls, who's worked in business. He's run for office before. And we're talking about the state of the state. We're a year ahead of a very active governor's race, a very active senator's race. And this is two candidates who are going to vie to be the Republican nominee for governor. Let's go to schools. Representative Robbins, you brought up test scores. They came out a few years ago, or few days ago. I'm a product of Minnesota public schools. I have kids who went to public schools. One ended up at a private high school. One went to a public high school. They got to college ready. And they said, you know, look, my son said, you know, I think I was really well prepared. The discipline, the self-discipline to study was probably a little harder after. But my daughter got to college and was like, this is the expected way you work in the real world. This isn't how it felt in high school. Where do schools which have – we have to say and acknowledge that they have issues that we didn't have 25, 30 years ago. How do we get back to either the basics in schools or just make our schools more better? Because when I went through school, we didn't have these tests that we measured each other on either. So go for it.
Thank you. Yes. Unfortunately, we've seen a huge decline in education under Governor Walz, and it's such a disservice to our kids and to our state. When kids, we have a high graduation rate, which is great, but we are graduating kids who cannot read and do math at grade level. And that's so, it's like criminal against these kids. We are not preparing them to have the skills to be successful in the real world, and then that leads to the disparities we're all concerned about later in life. Economic disparities, health disparities, engagement with juvenile justice. There are dozens of studies that show that kids who cannot read at grade level have much worse outcomes. And so we have to get back to focusing on the basics. The state legislature did a good job finally passing the Science of Reading Act to get back to teaching instead of like this whole language movement that was popular for about 20 years. Now we're going to get back to something more akin to how we learn to read with phonemic awareness and sounding out words and associating a sound with a letter. But we're rolling it out in a terrible way. I had a bill on this 6 years ago that didn't even get a hearing. And the problem is the teachers want to do it, the schools want to do it, but they are rolling it out with teacher training once a month or once every other month to try and reteach how they teach reading. And what we should be doing is have intensive teacher training that we pay for in the summer so teachers get the whole curriculum, the whole science of what they're doing, and then they can implement in their classrooms and have reading coaches in the classrooms. And instead, piecemealing it out over 3 years, it's not working. So we're going to lose three more class years of kids who aren't going to learn to read. The test scores have not moved because we haven't been implementing it well. So again, it's a failure of leadership from the executive branch, and we have got to focus on this with a laser so that we are making sure our kids succeed.
Kendall Qualls, where do you see the need to improve education? Republicans also talk about local control. How much can the executive branch, influence outcomes?
Well, this lies right at the center of Walz's lap, to be honest with you. He, from a governor that came from the education industry system, this should be the number one pride for him, and it's actually one of the worst things that has been on our state for years. So it starts at the top from a leadership standpoint. And because of that point, as you mentioned at the outset, I haven't been in public office. I've been in the outside. I've been I'm an Army veteran. I'm a retired business executive. I've been asked to come to the state capitol and appear and testify at Senate committees, House committees on education specifically about what are the initiatives. And this has been in the last 3 to 4 years. And they're asking for insight to what's going on, what should be the direction. They're asking me, because they see the leadership that I bring on this issue. And number one thing, we need to get back to the basics of reading, writing, arithmetic, the sciences, and dispel all of the social justice stuff that's been happening in our schools. It's a diversion. It has been detrimental to teachers and as well as students. And the second part is the discipline that we've had in schools. There is no discipline. God bless these teachers. They're dealing with stuff that they've never had to deal with before. How they're being talked to in a disrespectful way, the physical violence, is because we are allowing it to happen. That ends day one, okay? It ends day one when we get a new leader in. And second, some just transformational things that we can do as far as back to basics. Why we ever took vocational training out of high schools is beyond me. Now, right now, in the marketplace, we have a severe shortage of professional tradesmen. Not everyone needs to go to college to be successful in this country. And we shut the door on a profession that has could have been a pathway for many Minnesotans for the future. So there's some innovative things that we can do, but a lot of back to basics. And that's what the plans are that we have in place as well.
One of the things that I got a text on here is that we are so polarized. And, the middle feels left out a lot. Are there places that, whether it's President Trump or the Republican Party, that you think your party or President Trump have gone in the wrong direction, either one of you, Kendall?
Yeah, I'll start. So when I announced the DFL has a long list, we don't need Kendall Qualls. He's a culture, counterculture warrior. He's so far right. Here's my story. I started in poverty. I got an education. I wanted to better my way of life. I got married. I stayed married. We raised our children to be productive citizens. That used to be considered American. But now, in the labeling in the media and in politics, no, that's uber conservative. It used to be considered the norm and an aspiration for everyone. And that's what I want to bring to Minnesotans. And I think there's a lot of people in that commonality in the middle that would love to hear that being promoted at the senior levels of our state.
But is there anything that within the party or that President Trump has done that you have concerns about?
Here's the thing I believe in. This is something I've always had, again, from my military days and business days. Control the controllables. I can't control what happens in D.C. with President Trump. I can control what's happening in our own state, my own sphere of influence, of the setting the tone. And I think, again, at a governor level, you said like in Minnesota, the people look at the governor in a very different way. We can set our own tone, and despite what happens in Washington, D.C.
Representative Robbins, are there issues that you think Republicans should focus less on or more on, or things that you see from President Trump that you really have concerns about?
So I think Minnesotans in the middle of or not really that interested in politics just want the state to work for them. They want schools to work. They want safe communities. They want to be able to afford their lives and have a little bit left over. And they don't want their money wasted. I'm chair of the fraud committee. And we are looking at north of $1 billion in fraud in this state. The state is not working for Minnesotans. Minnesotans are working their tails off to pay for state government, and it's not working. So we need to reverse that. And that's what Minnesotans want us to focus on. I agree, most Minnesotans aren't very polarized. They just want things to work, and they want their hard work not to be wasted or stolen by fraudsters.
Is there anything that makes you cringe from Washington, from the president right now?
You know, I think that the president's doing a great job on getting control of the border, which was completely overrun. I think he's done some great work on leveling the playing field for our manufacturing and our agriculture. So I think that Minnesotans are kind of, I mean, I haven't seen a poll or done a poll, but I think some of the things coming out from Washington, they're very pleased with. And I really agree with Kendall. Like, we have so many issues in Minnesota. That's where I'm going to be focused. We need to focus and get results for Minnesotans. They are tired of paying billions of dollars into the state, $18 billion surplus that got turned into a $6 billion deficit. Minnesotans are fed up with the fiscal mismanagement, with the terrible test scores, with the things that just are affecting their personal lives. So I think that's where we need to focus.
I know you have a lot of experience in economics, and Kendall, you've worked significantly in business. I think that's what brought you to Minnesota. Let's just start with Minnesota's economy. We have had a strong economy for decades. It has slowed compared to competitive markets probably over the last 10 years. Our GDP is lower. Rural Minnesota is not as vibrant as it was. As governor, how do you kind of re-energize Minnesota's economy to get it back to where it was maybe 15, 20 years ago?
I love this question. We are in my wheelhouse. So Minnesota has been so uncompetitive for so long, but we can change it. It's a policy choice. We are out of line and uncompetitive in every measure of taxation. Personal tax, corporate tax, estate tax, pension tax, name any tax, we are out of whack with all the other states, which is why we are driving people to leave our state. If we get competitive tax policy, we will attract investment, we will attract talent to our state, and we will be a thriving economy again. And as the economy grows, then we have more resources to invest in schools and public safety and the things people want. What our friends on the other side of the aisle do is they want to keep slicing up the same pie. They don't want to grow the economy. We have to grow the economy so that we can invest in the things Minnesotans want. And the way to do that is dramatically changing not only our tax policy, but our regulatory policy. We are regulating businesses out of existence in this state. I talked to a guy in my district like a month ago who said, Kristen, I'm glad you're running, but we can't wait. We're moving our business to South Dakota because we cannot wait any longer. And I had another guy tell me, he's a financial planner. He said, it is my fiduciary responsibility to tell my clients to leave Minnesota to maximize, you know, their financial resources. He said, I don't want to do that. I'm from here. So these are policy choices, and we can change them, and we can, you know, have a vibrant, growing state, not only in the metro, but in the rural area. So I'm super excited to lead that change.
Kendall, what would you say you need to do as governor to make Minnesota grow again?
Yeah, I'll double down on everything that Representative Robbins just mentioned. I'm violent agreement. But there's also additional things we have to do at the same time. We can't be a great state without a great Minneapolis. We got to get our city back. You know, Forbes magazine rated Minneapolis. They rated 40 different cities. In October of 2009, they rated it the number one safest city with the best quality of life. That's not too long ago. We've never been a Detroit or Chicago, but we are today. We'll never get our city back. The economy will never be as robust as it needs to be without Minneapolis, and we're going to fix the crime problem. So that's going to be number one, and we're going to fix that in a big way. In less than 2 years, we're going to get it back. And then the second thing, we need new innovation. And so we're looking at, and look, I've been all over the country in my corporate jobs. And one of the things that we don't have in this state, what we need to have, is a college of mining and natural resources. And when I was in Colorado, we had one. South Dakota has a school of mining. And we're going to put it in Duluth. And we're going to look at opening up the Iron Range. We mine less than 10% of the minerals in the Iron Range. And Congressman Pete Stauber does a great job of the knowledge of that and the people up there. We can actually keep the boundary waters clean and safe and still mine at the same time. We can do two things at once. No one does mining cleaner and safer than the United States. Right now, we're importing some of these elements from China as well as the Congo using child labor. We're better than that. And so we look at whole new industries that we can open up. And then secondly, and this is most important, and one of the most important things, is that we can't get there from an energy perspective with wind and solar. We're going to need the next generation nuclear power plants, and I'm going to petition the administration to expedite approval for a next generation small footprint power plant for our state.
The other side will say that we pay higher taxes and we do enjoy a higher quality of life. They will point to paid family leave and earned safe and sick time as popular ideas that people want. How do you counter that narrative, or what needs to be done on those programs if you're elected governor? Kendall?
Yeah, first of all, you know, that higher quality of life, oh, yeah, we pay higher. We used to have a better quality of life. I can't tell you how many emails I get from Democrats, people right in the middle. Please, we want you to win and help save our state, save our Minneapolis. I don't go into that someone had season passes to the orchestra. They used to go into plays. They said, and sent me this email. They said, on the way home one night, teenagers on bikes surrounded their cars demanding money. It frightened my wife. We haven't been back in 4 years. That's not from a Republican. That email went to a guy never been in office because they know what leadership sounds like. They heard me on the radio, what we would do, they believe what we would do. So that better quality of life scenario, better schools and all that, that's yesteryear. We need to get leadership back. We're paying higher and higher taxes for less performance. Good example, Mayor Fry just announced last week, even with all the crime problem, we're going to raise your property taxes 7.8%. And be glad, because we were going to raise it 14%, but we cut back on law enforcement overtime. So now it's only 7.8%. Their houses are depreciating in value. Their cars are getting broken into overnight, 120 cars, windows smashed. And by the way, I'm paying a 7.8 premium for that. I don't think that's the Minnesota that people remember that you talk about. That's what they see actually today.
Democrats do point to popular ideas like safe and sick time, free school lunch. They talk about it as improving our quality of life. Kristen, if you're governor, Where do you look to either cut or, you know, make sure that we don't over-regulate or you know, over-propose regulations on business?
So the first thing we're going to do is stop the fraud, because we could have so much more money to spend to help Minnesotans or to put back in their pockets in tax cuts if we didn't have $1 billion in fraud under Tim Walz. So first we're going to get into these agencies and require the performance on internal controls that will stop the fraud on the front end. It's great that Joe Thompson is doing a fantastic job prosecuting the criminals, but by the time he gets to it, the money's stolen. So we need to stop fraud on the front end, and that means really cleaning house in the agencies. And honestly, state workers are some of my best whistleblowers. So it's not that all state workers aren't doing a great job. It's that there is a failure of internal controls and accountability and mismanagement that we have to address. So that's the first thing. The next thing we're going to do is we are going to invest in Minnesota in ways that we talked about tax policy. The regulatory policy is a whole nother layer. So to Kendall's point, we can't just ask the federal government for small modular nuclear. We have a nuclear moratorium in Minnesota. We have to repeal the nuclear moratorium to be able to even unleash that energy. We also have to have way fewer regulations on businesses. The paid family leave program is a good idea. I know it's very popular, but we had an alternative that was voluntary that didn't require 400 new bureaucrats at the Department of Employment and Economic Development to administer it. The most concerning part of the paid family leave program is that it upends the employer-employee relationship. So rather than employers and employees working together, oh, I'm going to have a baby, oh, I need to have this surgery, oh, can I have this time off, where you're working it out cooperatively, now the government has inserted itself, and you apply to the government for your leave, and the government decides if you get to have leave or not and how much. And again, Minnesota over-indexes on being the best, but it backfires. So we have the most generous leave program in the country, and it will be bankrupt when it starts in January because the math was wrong. So they overpromise that the Democrats, they overpromise, get everyone all excited, but the reality is Minnesotans are going to be paying taxes for paid leave when they already, most of them, got leave that they weren't paying a tax for. And the program, because we're creating a 400-person bureaucracy, is already in the red when it starts. So that tax is going up. So we cannot afford what they've promised. And we have to have someone who's going to get in there and manage the economy and the fiscal house responsibly. Minnesotans want their government to work, and this is not going to work.
I know we could keep this conversation going for another hour, but unfortunately, we don't have that much time. I want to thank you both for joining me on the porch. I know we're going to have a lot of conversations over the next year, and I really appreciate your openness and always willing to talk. So thank you.
Thank you, boys. Better days are ahead. I know we talk a lot about bad things, but better days ahead for us in Minnesota.
Absolutely. Minnesota is a great state, the greatest state, and we're at the greatest state fair in the country, and I can't wait to see all that we can do together in the future.
Kristen Robbins, Kendall Qualls, thank you. I'm Blaise Olson. This is Sunday Take. When we come back, this week's take. Welcome back. I'm Blaise Olson, live at the Great Minnesota Get-Together at the WCCO booth. I mean, this weather for this fair has been amazing, and soak it up and enjoy it. But this week's take is really about the next year. The next 14 months, we're going to have a conversation in this state about the future of the state. And I think what's interesting is this week proved that even in our darkest moments, both sides can't step away from the keyboard for more than an hour or 3 hours. And I think about this while we're at the fair, because the reality is the problems and challenges that we have as a state and the opportunities that we want are not going to be solved at the keyboard. They're going to be solved in conversation. They're going to be solved in relationship. And the whimsy that our leaders bring both elected and operative-based, to moments of tragedy where for 4 to 6 to 24 hours they can't even pause, I think is the worst part about the dialogue right now. Over the last couple of years, I've learned to just pause, to think, or to watch something play out. But in a tragedy like we had on Wednesday that will forever change this state, the second one that will tragedy that will forever change this state in, you know, 2 months and a week, I beg and I plead our leaders, from the governor to the senators to the representatives on both sides of the aisle, to take a break and breathe. That's this week's take. Sports is up next. I'll be with Vanita Tuesday through Thursday. You can always find our stuff at thedailyagenda.com. I'm Blois. Until next week.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get 2 phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet Reliant 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.